This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Mark Haney. Hamilton County Prosecutor Joe Dieters is announcing his decision on whether former UC police officer Ray Tenzing will be tried a third time for the death of Sam DeBose after the first two trials ended with hung juries. We'll get an update later in the show. First up, the Cincinnati Police Department is looking for qualified men and women who would like to join its ranks. And joining us to discuss what it takes to be a police officer for the city of Cincinnati and the qualifications the department looks for in a candidate are CPD Officer Ed Rivera and Officer Mike Schulte. You can join us at 513-419-7100. You can email talk at wvxu.org, or you can find us on Facebook or Twitter. And Officer Schulte, Officer Rivera, thank you for being here this afternoon.
Sure, no problem. Thanks for having us.
Officer Schulte, what do the recruiting numbers look like typically for these CPD efforts?
This process, I think currently we are somewhere in the neighborhood of 1,600 applicants. And then by the time we reach the deadline, I'm sure the numbers will be higher than that.
So it kind of ebbs and flows, though, from year to year. Is that
I think so. Yeah. But like I said, I think with this process, we'll probably end up right around where we normally are.
Yeah. Officer Rivera, what kind of candidates are you looking for?
Well, we're looking for candidates that have a strong desire to serve the community, to do what's in their heart, to follow their dreams and be pursuing a police department that offers a variety of different options and opportunities. What I try to do as a recruiter is I try to match the passion that each individual has and try to match it up with what the department can offer. For example, if you like criminalistics or your background is in forensics and you want to partake in that on the department, we try to provide that connection.
Now, do you actively seek veterans for these positions?
We try to recruit, you know, across the board, but we do have a lot of veterans that apply. I think that's a natural transition from a lot of men and women that come from the military. They tend to gravitate towards police and fire jobs, and a lot of the skills that they have or that they've acquired over their years in the service will cross over into that profession. So we generally do see a lot of veterans apply.
When you're out recruiting, are you looking for people who have specific skills? Are you looking for things like technological skills, second languages, things like that?
Yeah, we try to keep it diverse, and we try to let people know that, you know, there's a lot of avenues within the department that will accommodate the skills that they do bring to the table. It's good to have, you know, a wide range of skills within your department. So we try to talk to people and let them know that, you know, maybe what they see on the streets, you know, if you just associate our career with a policeman in uniform and a police car, yeah, we all start out like that, but there are a lot of different avenues that you can branch off into, you know, like you said, or like Ed said, you know, if you're interested in a career in technology, like as a crime analyst, or if you're interested in, you know, drug work and vice work, whether you want to become a detective or a member of the SWAT team. So we try to let people or try to tell people that, you know, there are a lot of avenues that your career can go once you get into the department.
What's your message for people who are looking for a career in law enforcement?
I tell them to do it. And, you know, the big thing is I try to tell them to, you know, educate themselves as much as they can to see what the departments offer once they get in. And a lot of times once they start to do that, it does open their eyes because they realize that, you know, like I said before, there's so many different options within the department that they can go to that it ends up, you know, drawing them in.
Officer Rivera, what's your message to people who are looking at this as a career?
I know that in this climate that we're having right now, a lot of people are doubtful about, they're either on the fence, they're afraid if they take this position or this job, it may put them in some sort of danger, and it is a dangerous job, but I try to enforce and encourage them to look at the positive side and to follow what they want to do. If that's what they really want to do, just to pursue their dreams, to become a police officer, to help their community, to do what they can, I encourage them. And I just, like I said earlier, I try to just make sure that they're in the right direction.
Yeah. What are some of the qualifications that people need to become a Cincinnati police officer?
Well, they have to be 21 years old by the date of the appointment to the police academy. They have to have a high school diploma or a GED. And then college and or military is preferred but not required. They have to have a valid driver's license 1 year prior to application. They also have to successfully complete the application process and be selected by our chief. And then they have to be a let me make sure I get all these in here. They have to be a resident of Hamilton, Butler, Warren, Claremont, Boone. There's a bunch of other counties that they can follow up on. But they have to be a resident of those counties by the date of the appointment to the police academy. And they have to remain a resident there for the length of their employment.
And we just got word from Tana Weingartner, who is covering the Joe Dieters press conference, that Prosecutor Dieters says he will not try Ray Tensing a third time. And we'll have more discussion on this later in the show. But again, Prosecutor Joe Dieters is announcing he will not try Ray Tensing a third time. So what? So those are the qualifications. Is there anything that would get you disqualified in the whole application process?
There's a list of disqualifying criteria, and we have guidelines that we have to follow throughout the process that will get you disqualified once you are in that process. When we start doing our background investigations on the applicants, I don't have the book with me to go through all of them, but. There's quite a few that pertain to, like, work history.
Drug use,
criminal history, things of that nature. And, you know, and a lot of it is not a big secret. It are things that most people would assume that would get them disqualified from the hiring process.
And that's why you want the larger group you start with, the better off you're going to be eventually in the end. Because not everybody who applies is going to make it through this.
That's correct.
Yeah. No. For example, this last class was a group of 30. It ended up being a group of 37. So from however many thousand initially apply, the final picks the chief made was for an academy class of 37.
So what's the application process that you have to go through? Where do you start?
You start online. You fill out an application online. You sign up for the test. The test is given by Human Resources. If you pass the test, you're invited to come back to take the physical assessment, which is a 300-meter sprint in so many seconds, minute push-ups, minute sit-ups, according to your age and gender. If you pass that, you also have to fill out a personal history questionnaire, which is about 30-plus pages. It's going to be an extensive book about your past, all your employment, any military, education, all the residence where you lived. It's very extensive, and basically that is kind of like your story for the background, and the background investigators use that to conduct their backgrounds. And
How extensive is that, Officer Rivera?
It's they have very personal questions asked, and I think what eliminates a lot of people is that they omit information because, again, that same personal history questionnaire is utilized in the polygraph. And if you omit something and then you stated during the polygraph, it's an omission, and that's a criteria violation. So if you are written up for a criteria violation, we write the violation up, and we submit it through the chain of command, and it goes to Human Resources, and they have a civil service hearing where they decide whether your story is valid or not valid to keep you in or out of the process. There's an in-home interview because the chief does not have the time to interview all applicants. It's just not possible. So we conduct in-home interviews to make the applicant feel comfortable at home and give them an opportunity to sell themselves to the chief. And wrapping it up, we also, if the chief does select the applicant, they still have to go through a behavior assessment, which is a two-part test. It's online, the first part. And the second part, if you're selected, you go to see the psychologist, and he reviews your exam. If you pass that, you take a medical screening, and if all lights are green, then you're given a date for orientation and when the academy starts.
The written test that you're talking about, the written exam, what's involved in that?
Well, it's hard to say because this year we're going with a new company and we are not permitted to be involved in the test itself. Human resource handles the whole thing. We're just observers on the outside. So we're not even allowed
right.
because they don't want us to...
They don't want you giving away any answers
exactly.
on the air.
right. In case we have someone on the job or we know, we're kind of excluded from that. So.
Yeah.
I know a lot of it's probably a scenario based, and it's probably not right or wrong answers, but the best answer.
So that process that Ed went through is prior to the start of the police academy. And like he said, once you get to the end, you get the green light, you go to your orientation, then the police academy starts, and then the academy is 26 weeks. And then at the end of that is when you would take your OPATA certification. As long as you pass the requirements through the police academy.
OPATA is Ohio
Peace Officers.
Peace Officers,
yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, so that's where you would get your certification to be a police officer in the state of Ohio.
And what I like to tell a lot of applicants also is once you make it to the academy, you're not in 100%. You still have 5 hurdles to go through. And physical fitness is, of course, one of the hurdles. The second hurdle would be driving. You have to be able to drive a police car in certain situations and maneuverability. Also, the firearm. You have to be able to be proficient with a firearm. And there's notebooks, the classroom topics that you take during the academy. And the last part is the state exam. If you pass all 5 hurdles, then you graduate the academy.
While you're in the academy, are you paid?
Yes, it's
yes.
a paid academy. You make about $16.22 an hour for 28 weeks. Also, you have full medical from day one. You have dental, vision, and everything that goes with that.
Mm-hmm. Now, when you graduate the police academy, your pay increases. Initially, as a probationary police officer, your salary is just under $58,000. And then as a police officer, you top out at $69,000, a little over $69,000. And that's at the base patrolman. Now, if you choose to promote through the ranks, obviously your salary would increase. But that is the pay grade as a police officer.
Officer Schulte, you mentioned that you typically get a class that's about 37 in size, somewhere in that neighborhood.
It ranges. You know, this I think 37 is actually is kind of a small class. I think generally they're somewhere around the neighborhood of 50. But that's not a decision that we make. That comes from just, you know, how many people that that they decide to put into the academy class.
Yeah. How many men, how many women do you usually get?
You know, they try to keep it as even as possible, and you know they try to have they try to do the best they can to have the academies diverse and bring people from all areas, and they try to reflect they try to have the academies, you know, reflect the community from which they're coming from. So that's kind of the goal when they make these selections, you know. Like I said, diversity is a big thing when they make these selections.
We will continue our conversation. This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Mark Haney, and joining us to discuss what it takes to be a police officer for the city of Cincinnati and the qualifications the department looks for in a candidate are CPD Officer Ed Rivera and Officer Mike Schulte. And you can join us at 513-419-7100, email talk at wvxu.org, or find us on Facebook or Twitter. Mike, did I understand correctly, you were talking about there is no, as long as you're an Ohio resident, or there is no residency requirement,
you can live in Ohio, Kentucky, or Indiana.
Okay.
And then earlier, when you asked me about the qualifications, and I was kind of giving you just some of the counties within those states that you could live in. But when you apply online and you can look at all the qualifications, you can see all the areas that you are allowed to live in.
Mm-hmm. And Officer Rivera, you said you were from the Cleveland Police Department originally.
Yes, that's correct.
How much did that serve to attract you to CPD?
It was very attracting because I was still within the state of Ohio, so my pension remained the same. I'm still in the same pension I was when I started with Cleveland. And one of the determining factors for me coming down to Cincinnati was the residency rule. In Cleveland, there was a residency rule. You had to live in the city limits. And at that time, the public school systems for the city of Cleveland were not the greatest. So a lot of employees for the city placed their children in parochial schools, and that's an expense in itself. So that was one of my concerns coming down to Cincinnati was there's no residency law. I have more opportunity to decide where I choose to live and raise my kids.
Yeah, it's got to be an important
factor.
It's a
very factor. Big, yes.
Yeah.
And if I can compare Cincinnati to Cleveland, I think Cincinnati is more of a traditional conservative city. Cleveland's more unfiltered. Not that I'm trying to put Cleveland, you know, in a bad light, but for purposes of raising a family, Cincinnati was a better choice for me and my family. Mm-hmm.
Again, 513-419-7100 if you'd like to join our conversation. And what is the biggest obstacle in that 28 weeks? What do most cadets have a problem with or trip up on when they're going through the police academy?
You know, I'll be honest, it kind of runs the spectrum because, you know, you do get people from so many different, you know, past so many different walks of life, so many different experiences, so many different ages. So, what one person might struggle with might be a breeze for another person. So it's really, really kind of individual to that person. You know, some people will come through the academy and they may not struggle with any of it. You know, they may kind of breeze through. I'm not saying that it's not challenging, but, you know, they may not face some of the challenges that another police recruit may face, whether it's, you know, academic or, you know, the physical standpoint or, you know, dealing with some of the, you know, some of the stress of just being in a police academy.
Decision making.
A question like that is kind of hard to answer because it's such an individual thing for each police recruit.
But Ed, you said decision making. So that's an area that.
It's very important because Schulte was telling me, and we see this on a day-to-day basis, as the recruits go through the academy, they are put in positions where they have to make split-second decisions on whether to use lethal force, non-lethal force. And what the academy tries to do is enhance their ability to make split-second decisions. And a lot of people, they're not just getting it right. Some struggle with it and some don't. So like Mike said, you know, it depends on their background, where they came from, if they came from a military standpoint or they came from a prior law enforcement experience. People struggle with different fields, different varieties of different problems and obstacles.
And Mike, you were saying 21 is the minimum age?
Yes.
Okay. But there's no maximum age, I take it?
No, there's not.
It used to be 35, I think, at one point.
I think it was 35, yeah.
But now you can be 50, you can be 60.
Yep, that's correct.
Do you see that?
You know, obviously now since they did lift the age restriction, you do have people that would have in the past been ineligible. You do see people that are over that age limit not only taking the test but also getting through the process and getting hired.
So what would you tell somebody who's in their 50s or maybe even approaching 60? What would you say they need to consider if they're thinking about becoming a police officer?
I think that they need to consider if it's something that they really want to do. I think they need to consider if physically, you know, they can get through the police academy. And I think that they need to really consider, like I said, I think the main thing is just, is this something that, you know, you are really committed to doing? Because, you know, it's a career, you know, and it's a profession and it's a physically and mentally demanding profession. And, you know, if that's something that they answer yes to, if that's something that, you know, they can honestly answer yes to, then do it. You know, I mean, go for it.
Yeah. Ed, what would your advice be to an older officer, somebody who's thinking about becoming an officer at an older age?
I think they should pursue what they feel like pursuing in their hearts, if that's what they really want to do. But they should consider also the longevity part. How much are they willing to forego physically? Because this is a physically demanding job, stressful. And not just the physical part, but the stressful situations, wear and tears your body as well. So if they are up to it and, you know, don't get me wrong, there's veterans that have 20 years in the military and they're in better shape than 20-year-olds. You know, if they can do it, then Why not?
Yeah, and I think part of what they would consider, too, is that a lot of what you see on TV is not realistic. I mean, there are parts of the job that people just don't even know about. You work holidays. You work long hours. Just all kinds of training you have to go through
all
the time.
Sure, and then, you know, like Ed said, you know, like just the physical stress or whatever. And when we say that, a lot of times people immediately think, you know, what they see on TV or what they hear, you know, hopping fences, you know, being involved in foot chases and this and that. But, you know, there's also the, you know, being on your feet for 10 or 12 hours, not chasing or doing anything, but you're just in that gear in inclement weather, you know, maybe for your whole shift. I mean, you know, that over the course of a career wears on your body just as much, you know, just, you know, being in that stuff outside and on your feet all the time. So, that's something else that, you know, that we try to tell people to consider.
No, but how rewarding have each of you found your career to be?
No, I mean, I've found it, really rewarding. And a lot of times, it's things that you don't even consider, you know, like maybe you go on a radio run, and this is, like I said, back when I was on patrol before I got transferred to recruiting. And it may be something that in your mind is, you know, you go there, you take care of it in 10 minutes, you clear and you're done, you're on to the next one. But then, you know, maybe a month later, 2 months later, you see that same person and, you know, you've completely forgotten that call, you know, because in your mind, it's one that you've handled multiple hundreds of times, but it made such a difference in that person's life at that time, you know, with whatever they were dealing with, that they'll come up to you and thank you. And, you know, they're just so grateful. And, you know, it's things like that that sometimes make you understand how big of an impact that you have. And it's even on things that you would think are so minor, but they have such a major impact on somebody's life at that situation.
And, Ed, what about you? What's rewarding about this for you?
I think for me, it's having the opportunity to be in places and help people in ways that you would never be able to in any other occupation. You intervene in people's lives and you kind of put them in the right path. You kind of assist them. You want to see something good come of what you do, your work. Even though this is a thankless job, I'm not in it for the praise. I'm in here because I want to help people. I generally want people to see that we have an opportunity to change people's lives in a better way.
Now, Joe from Cheviot had a question. He wondered, how hard is it to try to recruit officers who are from the neighborhoods they patrol? Or is that even a factor in what goes into recruiting?
No, you know, it's really not that hard because, you know, when you're out on patrol, I can't tell you how many times, you know, when I was out on the streets, you would have people come up to you and, you know, and strike up a conversation because maybe they were interested in a career in law enforcement. And, you know, and you might spend 10 minutes standing there talking to that person, you know, answering questions about, you know, the job and the qualifications and things of that nature. So, you know, a lot of like he asked, it's really not that difficult, you know, because a lot of times, you know, people will initiate that conversation on their own. They'll come up to you and just, you know, they'll just start and they'll ask you. So, you know, and it's really not that difficult.
Now, once someone becomes an officer, do they have options on which career path they can take?
Well, they initially will start in, everybody starts in patrol. When they come out of the police academy, they will be assigned to a district. And they will have their FTO process. And then when they get out of that phase, they'll spend an amount of time in patrol until they're eligible for other assignments. And then throughout the department, when the assignments become available, they have openings, they'll submit the paperwork and interview for those positions. And then that's how you will kind of move throughout the department.
So how much do the families play in this whole idea of recruiting? Because being a police officer is not an easy job. It can be very difficult.
Sure. I stress to the applicants, when I do my in-home interviews, I sometimes ask to speak to the spouse or family members and ask them how do they feel about them trying to get on the job. Because if you don't have support at home, you have to have support. Otherwise, you're fighting some battles at work and you're going to have battles at home if you don't have support. So it's very, very important to have the support of the family and for them to understand the demands this job places on you time-wise, physically, and stressfully. So I strongly suggest that they have an input in the selection process.
So you've got some events coming up where people can learn more about the recruiting effort that you have underway?
There are I think four Ed Forums that are that are scheduled. There's actually one tonight, and we just had this past Saturday we had an open house at the Police Academy, and then there will be other like recruitment things to come here shortly. Like I said, the forums are the big one because those are
questions and answers, and they sit down with a panel of different officers from different departments, captains, fall ranks, and basically it's a question and answer session.
Right.
So
members will come on. Members from the community, they can come there and ask questions. You know, basically any questions they may have. You know, for members of the police department, you know, that can help them. You know, with you know, any concerns that they may have, you know, before they, you know, enter a career in law enforcement.
And we have links to more information about those forums on our website, WVXU.org. And Officer Schulte and Officer Rivera, thank you so much for joining us this afternoon.
Thank you for having us.
Sure, it's my pleasure.
CPD Officer Ed Rivera and Officer Mike Schulte.